It's 14 minutes after 9 o'clock. It's the roundtable panel on kind of a bleak Wednesday morning. But bleak no longer, because it's the roundtable panel, sure to brighten up your day. On our panel today is WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Hello, hello. You ask how I am?
Yeah. Can you hold that thought for a minute so I can introduce the others, and then you can tell us about your angst?
Okay, sure.
Okay, because I suspect you're full of angst.
I am.
As you usually are. And also, J.P. Miller from the Empire Report is here. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Ray.
He's great.
You know, you're sitting next to Alan.
Yes.
You don't need to take any guff from him.
I won't.
All right, good. Also, communications consultant, policy wonk, fashion plate, Teresa Bourgeois is here. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Now, Alan, you're full of tension and great anxiety today.
I'm not sleeping. I'll be honest with you, all night long I keep saying, are we going to make this or aren't we?
Make what?
You know, the total $500,000 in the lockbox, from whence we will get $25,000, if we can do that, from the Spitzer Foundation.
Mm.
So that's really quite something.
Where are we in the lockbox?
Well, I'll tell you. Well, I'm glad that you asked, Ray. We now have in 398,323. That's $398,323. That leaves
fantastic.
Us about 11 something to go.
So in the next 15 minutes, we should get to four, right?
Well, in the next 5 minutes, we should get to four. What I'd like to do this morning is get $25,000 into the can, and then, because I don't know whether we're going to make it or not.
All right, so I really haven't been following this. If we hit the $500,000 point by the time the fund drive begins, we get an extra $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
And the fund drive is coming quickly. It's Monday at 6 a.m.
Well, yes, but the real reason to give money, and by the way, my very good friend JP has just made a small donation, but also made it very clear that the big thing that he thinks we have going when he talks to business people and others is that it's deductible. That the money.
Yeah, this is pre-tax money that you can donate. It is a charitable donation that you can put on your tax returns and get a write-off. And so you can either give it to the government or you can give it to WAMC. And I listen to WAMC.
More than you listen to the government.
All the time. And the fact that it's tax deductible, this is a charitable donation, and there's no better cause I can think of. We need to keep it going.
Well said, sir. And so
we need about $111,000. No, $101,000 to make it, and there's only one good reason.
Just a couple of days, too, right?
Yeah, well, if you read, it's today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then Ray, I'll be having to look at Ray's face, who looks a little like Mr. Miyato,
So Ray's so funny, though.
The fun drive at 6 a.m. I'm not so funny at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I've heard you. You're funny.
He's funny, isn't he?
I am told that we have an inducement, if you will, to pledge here in the lockbox. We have a $100 pledge. You get a pair of lawn tickets to opening night at Tanglewood.
Now, we usually wait for the third day in the fun drive. People call you up and they say, where are the Tanglewood tickets? But since we want to do this and do it fast, we are offering an incredible inducement here. And that means you get a pair of tickets, undated lawn passes, while they last, and for $150, that's for $100 for two, or for $150, you get the blanket. And it's a beautiful tartan blanket. It folds up. You can carry it it's about the size of a woman's purse, don't you think?
Yeah. Or a man's purse.
Or a man's purse. Oh, yeah.
For $150, you can go to Tanglewood?
And
it's tax deductible?
And it's tax deductible.
With a blanket.
And you get the blanket.
That's no-brainer.
Well, to be fair about the tax deductibility, if you get anything that's worth anything, you're supposed to probably
not do that.
I just say that because it's important.
It's still a no-brainer.
Right, yeah. You are. And WAMC.org is the website if you want to make your pledge. We do hope to make it before the $500,000 before the fund drive begins.
But the real reason to give is because WAMC is here for you in these times when Donald Trump tweets. I was trying to play with that. Tweets every day, something even a little bit more ridiculous. And this country is in a certain amount of danger. Oh, by the way, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, you'll be able to hear one of the most amazing conversations you've ever heard with a brilliant historian from Yale who will tell you about the plot against America.
Okay. And, you know, I just want to say one thing. Occasionally we'll get letters, and we will start the trust me out there, we will start the content of this program in a moment. We do get letters occasionally from people who say, you know, enough with the lockbox. Get to the roundtable panel, please. And frankly, this is where we live, and if we spend a few minutes on it, please bear with us. It does shorten the fun drive, and the fun drive will be, you know, we did a one-day one last time, and we're back to regular programming. So just bear with us. We will get to your program that you love and we love, and just hang in there.
We got an awful lot of affirmative mail yesterday about, you know, come on, folks. This is us we're talking about. It's not somebody presenting a program. This is where we live. This is the whole thing about keeping us on the air. Okay, so for you could get, now listen to this. You can have a pair of tickets to the, Colleen just came in and told me about this, a pair of tickets to the Boston Symphony Orchestra at Tanglewood. When? On opening night. Now, if you've never been to opening night at Tanglewood, that's when all the swells go.
Yeah.
I mean, governors and past governors and everybody else. You'll see them all there. Friday, July 7th at 8 p.m. These are lawn tickets, meaning nobody tells you where to sit. Nobody's going to sit in front of you. You sit on the lawn and you have a good time.
Yeah.
And okay, and you get and you get a pair of, wow. And then you get the WMC blanket on top of that.
And that's for a $150 pledge.
Yes,
right?
It is.
So
right.
you throw in another 50 into the lockbox and you'll get the lovely WAMC blanket.
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you what, the website is WAMC.org if you want to make your pledge.
Did you say WAMC.org?
Right, sir.
Okay.
And our email address on the panel, which we will begin, I promise you, panel at WAMC.org is the email address. We'll start here in a moment. Keep your letters short, to the point. Try not to include links. We cannot click them. And don't use abbreviations. Do a little proofreading before you send. Panel at WAMC.org. Liz, let's take a quick break and then into the show proper. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, welcoming today J.P. Miller and Teresa Bourgeois and Alan Shartok to the panel. The U.S. Embassy in Kabul and the NATO mission have condemned the massive bombing that killed 80 people near the German embassy in the Afghan capital earlier in the day. Hundreds were injured. The blast, which was a car bombing, went off near the Zambak Square, close to the area housing several diplomatic and government facilities. It was during morning rush hour. NATO praised the courage of Afghan security forces, especially the police and first responders, but a horrific blast. No one so far has claimed responsibility. Panel.
Well, if you're a religious person, you will know that the people who did this have a straight ticket to hell. As far as I'm concerned, this is, you know, you're killing innocents. Now they come back and say, "Well, you do now," but this is just beyond anything that is imaginable. Imagine that you lost a loved one. Now imagine all those people. How many did you say, Ray? 80.
At this point, 80 dead. Over 80 well dead. Over 300 injured.
Yeah, almost 400 injured, including children. It was near a school.
Well, it's disgusting. I know that the philosophy is to terrorize people to the point where they'll come around to the so-called caliphate, if it was ISIS or the other guys, if it was, you know. But it is beyond the pole. And I'm sorry, people call me a lefty and they call me names. But there is no tolerance for this kind of violence whatsoever. And I'm saying it. I'm saying it, and I'm meaning it.
I agree. It's hard to fathom the idea that you would wake up in the morning and want to kill women and innocent children. And unfortunately, with what happens around the world, is we open these stories almost, definitely monthly, almost weekly now, where there are dozens of innocent children dying at the hands of these barbarians, and it's really hard to fight people who have an ideology. It's really hard to fight people who are willing to
die,
to give up their own life. How do you fight a guy like that?
Yeah,
right. And that, as I don't think yet that the Taliban has taken responsibility, but most people are pointing toward them to do this. What's interesting is it was right near what they call the Green Zone, which is a highly secure area, right in front of the German embassy. It's right near a number of embassies, sadly, right near a school. And it was at the height of morning commute time, so it was a very crowded area. And they say, buildings, many buildings destroyed and such. And as Afghan President Ghani said in a statement, that it also occurred during Ramadan. They've just begun Ramadan, which is the month, as he said, quote unquote, the month of goodness, blessing, and prayers. And so there's typically, there's been a pattern of the Taliban increasing their bombings in the spring, but not as much during Ramadan. So this is a bit unusual for them. But the question it'll be interesting to me is, how will the world respond? Will the world respond the way they did in the Manchester bombing or Paris, or because it's in Kabul, Afghanistan, will they not? They said that this is the largest bombing. I mean, there have been individual bombings, smaller bombings there, but the largest since 2001, with nearly 400 people injured.
And you mentioned that there is a decision looming about whether to put more U.S. boots on the ground in Afghanistan.
Right. So the president this week has a number of key decisions he's scheduled to make, and one of them on the list that they talked about yesterday at the White House press briefing is whether or not to put more troops. And there's a push to put as many as 50,000 more U.S. troops in Afghanistan. And then others say, no, we need to pull back. And there's an internal discussion.
So the question, Teresa, is if you put 50,000 more troops with boots on the ground, does that stop the guy with the knapsack, you know, from doing what they're doing? What's extraordinary to me is that we really have, at least up to now, I don't want to curse it, up to now, put a stop to it in the United States, and that law enforcement is doing what it has to. But as we all know, Afghanistan go back and forth between the Russians and the U.S. and one administration and another, and then corrupt, greedy politicians who get the control of the Afghanistan government. What is it that 50,000 people could do for you? That's the question.
It puts the president and military leaders in a tough decision. I imagine that there are military leaders that are making just as strong a case not to put boots on the ground as there are military leaders saying we should put boots on the ground. And who's to know what is the right answer, whether you should do that or not? And I agree, Alan, seeing this has been going back to the Russians in Afghanistan. Are we ever going to be able to make that big of a difference there? But we do want to show compassion and try and give these people an opportunity to enjoy a peaceful way of life.
Well, JP, you're a very bright guy, so I'm going to ask you a very simple question. What would you do? I mean, what would you do if you were president right now?
I would have a tough time putting Americans in harm's way. I think I'm a believer that the Afghans should be in control of their own destiny in every way possible, and we should empower them and allow them to do that. But it'd be a hard decision to put Americans in harm's way.
So what you do want to do, it seems to me, is put people into that spot who can help them with internal security. Whether it's your FBI guys or whether it's your CIA guys or people, I should say, because that's where the decision will be made. How do you pick up people? Now, Erdogan in Turkey has a way of doing it. We know he arrests everybody and puts everybody in jail. Is it too much in Afghanistan? Probably not. Probably not. You're going to have to clamp down before you give out more civil liberties in that society. That's my bet about it.
I agree. It's a very tough place in the world to try to implement the types of freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. And you see dictatorships like Saudi Arabia are very safe, but there's very little freedom.
Well, safe for who? You know, I mean, my view of Saudi Arabia, Ray, was always that you may remember a number of years back, a princess ran away with a commoner. And they cut their heads off. They found them and they cut their heads off. That's Saudi Arabia where people... So it's interesting, I hate to do this, that Trump seems to be more comfortable with the people like, the king of Saudi Arabia and the other guys and the Russians than he is with democracies.
Well, we already have 10,000 or more troops in Afghanistan now. and the trend had been to pull them out. And so the question is, if you add more, what good is that going to do? Is it, will it make the situation worse, better?
Our email address here is panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org if you would like to weigh in on the topics discussed today here on the Roundtable Panel. We will break for news from the BBC, and we'll be back.
And don't forget about the lockbox.
Okay, we're back on
nice
the show. It's the Roundtable Panel. It's 9:34 on a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, joined today by J.P. Miller of Empire Report, and Teresa Bourgeois, who is a communications consultant, policy wonk and what have you. Alan Shartok, who is... well, he's something, and he's here with you now. And what do you have to say?
Thank you, big guy. Do me big. So for a pledge of $100 right now, we got to get this thing done, folks.
Yeah.
You get a pair of lawn tickets to the Boston Symphony at Orchestra at Tanglewood on opening night, which is when all the swells go.
July 7th.
July 7th at 8 p.m. And... for another $50, you throw in another $50, you get yourselves a beautiful tartan. Is that tartan? I think sort of tartan. Blanket that folds up into a little like purse. It's great. And you can eat on it.
But wash it if you're going to eat on it, right?
Why? No, you can eat on it. You can eat on it. You could go to sleep on it while doing the beautiful music.
Stop. Okay, I know where you're going to go, so just stop.
Okay, so do that now. Okay. All right, so to get those lawn tickets.
And this is all to feed the lockbox.
To feed the, everything goes into the lockbox.
Okay, and so we're trying to raise $500,000 by Monday morning, which is the start of the fund drive.
And we have about $102,000 to go.
Terrific.
And it's not terrific.
All right, all right. I mean, that's pretty good.
It's terrible.
Almost $400,000.
But
there.
We need to get it done, and then we get that extra $25,000.
Okay.
Don't you see?
Yeah.
Invest in journalism.
Or whatever you call this. I'm not sure what...
Invest in conversation.
This is the type of highbrow programming you can only get on public radio.
Yeah, let's talk about Twitter, highbrow.
Oh, but we have Twitter. We have some listener email, and then we will talk about
what happened on Twitter last night for all us insomniacs.
So the president tweeted around 12 o'clock last night, I believe, and he used a word which is COVEFE, COVEFE. And this has gotten everybody to think, what is a COVEF? You know, all the morning programs are talking about it. People are kidding around about it. Ray Graff thinks he meant coverage. I don't know what the full sentence
was. The tweet was, despite the constant negative press, and then COVEFE.
And then it went dead.
And then it's nothing. And usually when there's he has a typo, after a few minutes it gets deleted and then you see a new tweet. But what happened, this was at 12:06 for us.
I mean, don't you think it's better? First of all, it's clearly it was a typo. He probably fell asleep. Do you think it's better maybe not have a president tweeting in the middle of the night?
Well, that's
exactly
the thing,
40 winks.
What caused the stir was because it didn't get deleted. It just stayed there. And then after 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, and then people started saying, is the president okay? And then this just blew up on Twitter.
And he was asleep by that time, and nobody had the guts.
Why didn't somebody go wake him up and say, and people were actually tweeting, would somebody please check and see if the president's okay?
Right.
But then there was a whole serious, you know, set of tweets about it. But then there was some really funny.
And then he came back
and
credit claimed. He said later.
6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, he said, let people try to figure out exactly what that means, something like love it or something like that.
Right. But I will say Merriam-Webster was particularly funny on this.
Who
tweeting
is she?
Out.
That's very good. That's
because
very good.
They had a lot of searches for what it might mean. You know, first of all, was it a real word? Once it was clearly not a word. So whoever does Merriam-Webster's Twitter is a hysterical person, and I want to find out more about him or her. This is not the first time that they have been funny about tweets, but this really, it was astounding. I work late at night and I follow Twitter and it just exploded on Twitter. Even Steve Case, you know, who the founder of AOL and major entrepreneur, he tweeted, hoping Cuffy is not the secure password that unlocks the nuclear codes.
Ha ha ha, good
but
stuff.
It was really... On the one hand, it was funny, but on the other hand, it is a little disconcerting, I think it was to some, that there was
so that became
silence.
A major piece of news. Another major piece of news, non-news, when you're talking about nuclear weapons and everything else, was Kathy, what's her name?
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin.
It's terrible. Even be talking
so,
about it.
Well, we should be talking about it. Because if this happened to another president, there would be a big discussion about it.
Well, there was some on Twitter about how, you know, amazing that something could drive Kathy Griffin off of the focus.
So for those who don't know, Kathy Griffin says she went way too far when she appeared in a brief video Tuesday holding what looked like President Trump's bloody severed head. The comic posted a video later apologizing for the image, saying it was too disturbing, wasn't funny. The video showed a straight-faced Griffin slowly lifting the bloody head. She originally described the project with photographer Tyler Shields as an art statement mocking the commander-in-chief. Griffin says in her apology that she asked the photographer to remove the images and begs her fans for forgiveness. Griffin says she made a mistake, went too far, and was wrong.
Well, she's done a great job for herself to get her name back in the public arena.
Exactly.
The only time that I ever hear the name Kathy Griffin is I see her on, I think, New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and it's so annoying.
Yeah, so,
she's annoying then, and this is I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, but I think she's done a great job for herself to get her name back in the press. If this was done to Barack Obama, that person would never work in Hollywood again, would never get a job in Hollywood again, and she will now take public criticism, but on the phone and at the bar with the limousine liberals in Hollywood, they will say, good job, Kathy. We love you for it. Don't worry about it.
Well, first of all, I think you overstated, and I don't think anybody is saying good job.
No, it's
in fact,
disgusting.
I'm very angry at her.
Right.
As a limousine liberal, is that what you, is that your term there, JP?
So limousine is a Prius now?
Prius liberal.
I think what she's done is to set back the resistance movement with a stupid move on her part. Because what happens is there's got to be some sympathy for a president. We know the FBI is looking into her doing this, and there are laws against doing it. But basically, she's turned it against the resistance movement by having gone too far. And I think that's terrible.
I think art is art. And
she stop with the limousine liberals.
She apologized. JP. Listen, artists go too far sometimes, whether you like her or not. She did what she thought was art, and she apologized, and so you move on.
She purposely did it.
It's really bad judgment.
I think JP's right, and I think you're wrong.
Okay.
I think it needs to be discussed, and I think it needs to be understood in the context in which JP explains it. I thought it's the first thing I thought of. Well, this is a good way of getting yourself back into the news.
Yep.
Right, and you know, I mean, you think about what happened in Portland. And it's just disgusting, and how did the photographer and the people all around her and her think that this was a good idea?
I think with some critics may think those thoughts, but they might not act them out.
Right. I mean, at some point along this process, why didn't somebody intervene and say, you know, no, this is a ridiculously horrible, disgusting idea?
Anyway,
let's move on. There's so many important things to talk about, but that one was disgusting in her behalf.
So John, who writes us frequently, said, definition of a covfefe is a coiffed kerfuffle.
Very nice. Thank you for that.
And Paul says, good morning, Penham. I'm making my donation to the lockbox soon. Trump's action diminishes us daily. Why does he insist on pulling the U.S. back from a position of leadership? Well, Paul, you have absolutely asked exactly the right questions. Now, there are many answers to that, but we do know that there are a lot of investigations looking at the Trump-Russian connection. And if, in fact, Trump has made a deal with the Russians on some level, or his people have made a deal with the Russians on some level, it would go a long way to explaining why he wants to pull the U.S. back from a position of leadership, particularly in NATO, which is Putin's number one objective, to do away with NATO. So that'd be my answer. Did you want to answer that, Jason?
No.
Okay. Danny says, I know Alan didn't ask me, but what I would do is not send troops. Recruit Afghanistan, tease the desire peace. Train them through the FBI or CIA, period, to infiltrate these idealistic terrorists before they can execute these types of actions. Well, I'm with Danny. Good for him.
One of my concerns, though, in addition to not sending troops, is the State Department has really been decimated under Trump, and under this proposed budget, it will be even more so. And what you do need is some diplomatic support there. We had been supporting Afghanistan schools and all sorts of other things. And with these budget cuts, I doubt that that will, you know, there will be resources there to continue. And, helping to fund the schools and other things there has helped. And we need to do everything possible to support and stabilize this government.
How do we know it's helped?
How do you know that it's helped?
Yeah.
Because there is research that shows that if you educate people, particularly girls, you can strengthen those communities, the individual communities.
And it's like chicken soup. It wouldn't hurt, right? I mean, if you are doing things for the population, you think that's going to hurt you, right?
Or if you help create or strengthen a middle class, give them jobs. You know, poverty is one of the, in these poor areas, they say that's the breeding ground for a lot of terrorists.
No, I mean, my question was,
how do you know?
We have been doing that.
Yes.
And have we seen an improvement?
Or have we seen a degradation?
This is my question.
Well, I think it's getting worse. And I think Teresa's right on.
You think Afghanistan's getting worse?
Yes, I do. Michael says, it is tragic beyond comprehension, but our country is just as blooded by the killing of innocents. We are terrorists just as they are. And says Michael, I don't agree with him, but hey, your show, you say what you want. Greg says, I would much rather listen to you cats and kittens talk about the lockbox than listen to the endless, mindless, numbing commercials on commercial radio. WMC is the people's radio, for Pete's sake. Best radio in the universe. And that's from Greg.
I like it.
Thank you,
I like
Greg.
It a lot.
What a
I
nice
like it.
Thought.
I used to do a lot of commercials back in the day, you know.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
You once explained to me about that. You said that when you did those commercials, it was a technique known on the radio as puking.
Yes, and we won't do that now.
Well, come on, just do a little bit of it for us.
I can't do it now. I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
During the fun drive, I'll give you some of that.
Some of that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So if you want to not have too much of that, then donate now.
That's right.
Yeah. Mike says, in Corinth says, I'm an avid listener. I'm worried that your reference to a matching contribution may have an unintended consequences. Your elderly and less sophisticated listeners may not be able to discern the subtle difference between a bit of fun and an actual representation. If the Spitzer Foundation will actually not make the $25,000 contribution, folks, we just don't know that yet. In any way or at any time, unless you hit the goal, you should state that. I've stated it again and again. My guess is that they will pay regardless. My guess, too. Imagine an elderly person on a fixed income hearing the angst and taking it as personal failure if they do not or cannot contribute. Thanks for listening, Mike and Corinth. And Nicole says, labor investigators detained, arrested, looking into forced overtime at shoe factory, Ivanka's shoe line, as well as other high-end shoes made there. Made in America? Shameful.
The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Again, keep the letters brief, as you have done this morning. Don't include links. Don't use abbreviations. And we will, of course, get to more topics and read more of your letters coming up. But first, a break.
Support for WMC comes from Valley Solar, providing families in the Berkshires, Pioneer Valley, and Western Massachusetts with solar-powered systems and design and installation services for their homes. ValleySolar.solar. Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, helping fight the epidemic opiate crisis, both locally and throughout the country, with specialized programs, education, and support for men, women, and families. VillaVeritas.org for inquiries. New England Falconry, located in Hadley, Massachusetts and Woodstock, Vermont, offering introductory, extended, and group hands-on sessions, as well as hunts through field and forest with a trained hawk. NewEnglandFalconry.com. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's just about 9:48 on a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, Teresa Bourgeois, J.P. Miller, and Alan Shartok on the panel. And you as well, panel at WAMC.org. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn will provide some documents to the Senate Intelligence Committee as part of its probe into Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. A person close to Flynn says he'll turn over documents related to two of his businesses, as well as some personal documents the committee requested earlier this month. Flynn's decision comes after he invoked his Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination in declining an earlier request from the committee. Meanwhile, President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, says he has received and rejected a request for information from the House Intelligence Committee as part of the Russia investigation. The House's request for information from Cohen came as the investigators continue to scrutinize members of Trump's inner circle. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly defending an alleged effort by top White House advisor Jared Kushner to create back-channel communications with Russia. Speaking on Sunday's news programs, Kelly said he doesn't know whether the reports by the AP and other news outlets are true, but he describes such efforts to communicate as, quote, a good thing. Congressional Democrats are demanding to hear directly from Kushner over allegations of the proposed secret back channel. Vladimir Putin says the allegations of all this Russian meddling are fiction invented by Democrats in order to explain their loss.
That from a man who goes around and puts his political enemies in jail, or who we know they disappear, or they are killed.
Get thrown off a building.
Or they're killed.
How about getting thrown off a building?
And so we're going to believe him about anything? Nonsense. KGB man.
Teresa Bourgeois, I'm sure you have a thing or two to say about all of the things I just said.
I'll start with Alan.
Well, there's not much to say except that the ball of twine keeps unwinding. And the question is, and we're beginning to see it, what happens when the Republicans adopt a position of patriotism as opposed to, you know, just fear that Trump will get on them if they give him a hard time? It is all about the Republicans. They own the House of Representatives, which is an oligarchy under Speaker Ryan. They are predominant in the Senate, but now we're seeing signs of real rebellion in the Senate. We are seeing the Senate Investigative Committee, which is now being known as the one place that really this thing, besides Mueller, the prosecutor, can get resolved. And we see the president of the Senate saying he hasn't got the votes to get a health care bill through. That means big trouble for Trump. The reason he wanted it all done in the first couple of days is he wanted to be seen omnipotent. It's not happening. Now, when these guys get a set of feet and do what's necessary. See what I did there, Ray? So, and do what you didn't see what I did there.
No. Okay, so I was miles away.
Get a set of feet.
I see.
Don't you see?
Yes.
Okay. And when they do what's right for the country as opposed for them, they'll benefit, and they have to get out of the way of this guy, because more and more it really looks like he's in real trouble.
I agree with Alan. The Republican, it is all about the Republicans, and they are in deep trouble for 2018. The American people voted for Donald Trump and brought him into office, I believe, for the two biggest issues were repeal and replace Obamacare and to put up the wall with Mexico. I can't think of another bigger issue. And so Republicans are going to go to their voters in 2018 without having repealed and replaced Obamacare. They haven't put up a wall. And you have now a very activated and excited left wing of the country. And Republicans are not going to be activated and excited. They're going to say, why do we want to send you guys back? You guys have the presidency, the Congress, and what have you done? Nothing.
But I think there's a false premise there that he wanted the wall, yes, popular, at least at the time, and that he wanted the repeal of Obamacare. Now the Kaiser Foundation comes out with a thing saying people are in love with Obamacare, right, all of a sudden. So he missed the train. In other words, if he was going to do it, he had to do it fast. But right now, people are scared. They're scared they're losing their health care. And by huge numbers, they like Obamacare, and they don't like what he's put up there.
Since Obamacare was passed in 2010, the Republicans added seats in Congress. 2012, Republicans added seats in Congress. 2014, 2016, all all campaigning against Obamacare.
True, true.
And so
without a viable, I'm sorry.
And so the fact that they don't, that they are not going to act on this is going to hurt them with the Republican base. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think electorally and politically, the Republicans are going to face a huge wave against them in 2018 and likely lose the House
of Representatives. For being ineffective and feckless, in other words?
Well,
scared to do anything?
Well, the base of a party really, I think, affects elections. I think the reason why Donald Trump won is because the right wing was excited and the left wing was not excited.
It was dormant.
Was dormant, right. And in 2018, I think the opposite is going to happen. The left of the country, who is excited about Russia and excited about keeping Obamacare, they are going to be the ones that are excited and turning out the vote. And the Republicans, because of a lack of legislation in the first term, I can't think of a presidency that hasn't had is not going to have any legislation. They're going to be focused on Russia this whole time. They're not going to pass any legislation. They're going to have a very, very hard time in 2018.
Well, I think
on health care, the problem is that the Republicans for 7 years from the moment it passed had rhetorically opposed to the Obamacare, the ACA. But what they described and the rhetoric they used, and with Trump, the rhetoric he used during the campaign, you know, repeal and replace, we're going to get you something better. There is no legislation that would do what they claimed that they would do and still adhere to, you know, he promised that we're going to lower premiums. It's going to be better. We're going to lower premiums. We're going to cover everybody. And, you know, you'll have your pre-existing condition protections and your kids under 26 will still be able to get covered. It's going to be better. It's going to cost less. And we're going to get government out of it. Well, that was never going to happen. That was a lie. And even the Republicans said, you know, it was easy when we weren't in charge, but now that we have to actually draft a bill, you know, maybe we don't want to pass what we described because it was never going to do what they said it was going to do. Now, if you fault the Democrats, it was for not pushing back hard enough, because what happened over time is as the Obamacare began to be in place, you began to see some of the improvements that were promised. Not that it doesn't need improvement. The Democrats said from the very beginning you need to improve it, but the Republicans wouldn't go along with that. So then the House passes a bill, which only 17% of the public likes, which now those House members are all bound by that vote. The Senate Democrats say, we're not going to do anything like that. But then yesterday they said, they're doing it in secret, and 80% of their bill, their health care bill, is what the House has passed. You just they can't deliver on their promise. Now, you said about Russia that the left is excited about Russia. I think everybody in this country who cares about democracy should be concerned about...
Including the generals, by the way, who all have taken issue with...
The intelligence community, the Republicans, Democrats, everyone should be concerned about the Russians interfering with the U.S. elections. And that shouldn't be just the people on the left. And, you know, but clearly this administration is caught up and it's like quicksand and it's just dragging them down.
Isn't that by design, though? Wouldn't that be by design for those who would not want an administration to have any success at all? Wouldn't that be a great design to keep something like this going and going and going?
So this thing is known that we're in, Gray, as a democracy. The whole idea is you contest over issues. The Russian thing, you can say anything you want about
this. Let's define what the Russian thing is, first of all.
Well, the Trump administration wouldn't be in trouble over the Russian thing if they had handled it properly, if they had been on the side of democracy from the beginning and said, just like Emmanuel Macron did the other day with Putin, that right away got out ahead of it, saying we're not going to allow our democracy, you know, our government elections to be meddled with by the Russians.
Yeah. Well, it's a mess. It really is a mess. I would take great issue with you, Ray, on this.
On what?
Well, asking you said, wasn't it by design, the Russian thing? It wasn't by design.
No. Yeah. Isn't it a viable strategy for an opposition party to keep...
That's why we have opposition parties.
Let me finish,
of
for
course.
Pete's sake.
Of course. I offer you my sincere apologies.
I don't believe you. Isn't it a viable option, a strategy, if you will, to keep investigations or keep things away from, if you have a president or an administration that you don't want to, you don't like what he's going to do, then don't, wouldn't it make sense to say, well, we're going to bog you down with other things?
You're kidding, of course. I mean, you're talking about the Republicans.
That's what the Republicans did for decades.
Who haven't given Obama, didn't give Obama a single moment of rest.
This is what I'm saying. This is politics 101.
Well, except that they were wrong. And in this case, in the Russian thing.
Okay, again, define what the Russian thing is.
The Russian thing is their collusion between the people of the Trump campaign and all the people who are around Trump who are now being called to account by whom? By the Republicans in the House to some degree, but absolutely in the Senate with a special prosecutor. And now we hear that Kushner wanted to set up a back channel using the Russian equipment to do that with. That's the Russian thing.
Our email, go ahead. We got to take a break here for news, but our email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. And we'll pick this back up on the other side of news. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 5 minutes after 10, it's Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe. We got Alan. We got J.P. Miller. We got Teresa Bourgeois.
And we got you.
Exactly. A panel at WAMC.org. How much time do you spend, Teresa Bourgeois, on Twitter?
I spend too much time on Twitter. I'm completely addicted to Twitter. It's really bad, but I love it.
It is an addiction. You're a very good follow. What is your Twitter handle?
@TBoug. @TBoug.
@TBoug, all one word.
At T Bush.
Is that like in bougie?
Yeah, as in bourgeois, at T Bush.
Yeah, but bougie is something bougie. We used to call to dismiss people, we lefties.
Yeah.
I said, that person is bougie.
Yeah, as in the don't bourgeoisie, bougie. Yeah, yeah. At T Bush, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a reminder, the lockbox is open at WAMC.org. The lockbox is open. I believe we have crossed the $400,000 threshold.
It says on the website.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are we at?
It says it's a little over 400.
Fantastic.
No.
That's great news.
I've got butterflies in my stomach.
You know, and we make fun of you because before every drive.
I want to go to 403 right now.
Okay,
yeah, you're
can
right,
we go to 403 right now?
I hope so.
The thing about Alan is people think he's making it up when he says I'm full of angst on the air and I'm nervous.
But he really is.
He
full
comes
of
in
angst.
The newsroom and he's like,
he's making me nervous.
Why does he cheat? I haven't slept. It's not. We're not making it up.
But you know what he said to him? He said yesterday. That only 1 in 10 listeners actually help invest
wrong.
In it.
That was wrong. It's much more than one.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. We have 400,000 regular listeners to WAMC every month. 400,000 individual people who listen to WAMC every month. So that ain't no 1 in 10. It's much worse.
Okay, so right now.
So people are listening. A
33
lot
of, people who are listening have never contributed. I think you should call right
now. No. Right now,
in the next
thousands of people who have never contributed.
Are there people listening now who haven't invested in?
You bet.
Are there people listening now? I think is a better question.
Oh, my goodness.
Does a deer walk in the woods?
Our email address here is panel@wamc.org. If you want to make a pledge, we'd love you to do that. Wamc.org is the website. Feed the lockbox. If we hit 500K by Monday morning.
Or by this afternoon.
We will get an extra 25K from the Spitzer Foundation. Oh, we're at 403,628.
How about that?
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right.
You want more letters or not?
I suppose.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be outraged.
Joy says, good morning, panel.
Good
Ray
morning.
Is right.
Aha!
Oh, wow.
Now, there's
Art
one.
Art is ridiculous and extreme all the time. Heavy metal band gear decapitated a president on stage every show for 20 years.
It's disgusting.
No, I don't think it's right.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's just not right.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. What do you think, JP?
I don't think it's right. Yeah. But it's good for Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
No. It shouldn't be good for Kathy Griffin.
But it is.
Just like Sean Hannity's behavior should not be good for him.
But I think that's different. Kathy Griffin, and I'm not a fan, okay? I'm not a fan of her humor. I never thought she was funny.
It's not humorous.
Kathy Griffin is an artist. Sean Hannity is allegedly not an artist.
And people should not, you know, he can stay on air, but people... Companies who buy advertising on his program, people who do business with those companies should let them know. I don't think they should advertise.
So anyway,
yes.
Scott says, I am the soul of nonviolence. But if there's a point to Kathy Griffin's severed head, it's that in a less kind and gentle age, a corrupt, venal, lying, divisive, greedy, and boorish leader may have ended such a career in that very form. In other words, they used to cut people's heads off back in the day. Yeah. They found King Henry, I think, in a parking lot in London. I don't know if you remember that. It wasn't that long ago.
I'm sorry. You know what? You should be able to. This is America. You should be able to say what you want.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
And she apologized. She knows it was a mistake.
Boy, did she ever. Well, if you go with the JP analysis.
She knows it was a great move on her behalf. For her to come out 10 minutes later and apologize, it's not like she even waited a day or two. She came out 10 minutes later, I apologize.
So you think it was planned?
1,000%. I don't think it was planned.
CNN should have her on New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper this coming year?
No one would ever.
Well, Anderson Cooper's surely.
No one would ever penalize Kathy Griffin for this. If it was, if the shoe was on the other foot, the person would never work again. But Kathy Griffin, no big deal.
Okay, dear panel, I think it's possible that Trump might be contemplating heating up the war in Afghanistan in order to get people to stop investigating him. That's right. A lot of people have been saying all along, like Professor Snyder.
Today at 1.
Today at 1. Tomorrow
Wednesday. At 1.
Tomorrow 1.
Right, you are.
Get people that there's going to be, you know, another Reichstag fire, and this may be it. There are a number of Americans who would say we have to support our president when we're in war. Right. Like Vietnam, parenthesis, sarcasm, and that's Gail from Avril Park.
But people forget, except for the military families whose sons and daughters and husbands and wives are there now, because, you know, such a few percentage of Americans are really involved with the military and our military families. But right now, there are thousands of people, thousands of our troops in Afghanistan already, and as in, you know, Iraq and other places. And so I don't know that will be supported by those people in his rallies if he sends 50,000 more people or even 10,000 more people into Afghanistan.
And Corey says, boy, does Ray ask the right question. I fought in Afghanistan. I can tell you that they don't give a damn about the amount of money we're spending on schools. What they care about is how many U.S. bombs and bullets have killed their own family members. Poverty may have a role in radicalizing people, but I can assure you that bombs and bullets do far more damage to our reputation than how much money we spend on some school in town in a town in Afghanistan that no one's ever heard of, and that's from Corey. Russ says,
I agree with Corey about the fact that, you know, I don't think we pay as much attention to the harm that this killing of innocents does in breeding hate against the United States. You know, in fact, what is it, earlier this week in Iraq, a bomb killed another 100 civilians, U.S. bombs. And the long-term hate that breeds is really challenging. I mean, it's tough. It's
well, ask
tough.
Yourself if it were your kid or your husband or your wife
right.
that got killed.
Right.
Hello, panel, says hello. Russ. With all the white noise in the news, it seems to me that we missed the melody. On yesterday evening's PBS interview, Governor Hutchinson implied that all the Senate needs to do is assure 30 red states that their Medicaid outlays will decline over time and the bill will go through. He didn't seem too picky about how that goal would be met. Seems like they're close to singing the same tune.
Which is what Teresa said, I think.
That you know, they keep saying that they're going to have a much different bill. The Senate will have a much different bill than the House passed because it was rightfully so, in my view, so much outrage about what was, you know, considered a quote-unquote health bill that came out of the House. But reports, if you follow Kaiser Health News or others who watch the details carefully, that 80% or more of the bill that the Senate is now considering in secret, by the way, not in public legislation, not hearings, not public discussion, in secret, 80% or more of that bill is similar to what's the bill on the House side. And you saw this strange tweet from Trump yesterday about, well, we just need to add a little bit more money. And he oddly tweeted that we need to just end the 60-vote rule. Well, if he was paying attention, he would know that, in fact, they're trying to set the House and Senate Republicans are trying to set it up. So when the Senate considers this bill, you only need 51 votes, because you have Pence.
Well, McConnell said that wasn't going to happen unless, of course, you have this reconciliation.
Well, they're trying hard now to do it through reconciliation. But McConnell can't get 50 votes. He can't get 50 of his Republican votes right now.
And Trump is probably right. In Washington, as in Albany, all you have to do is add in a little more money, and you'll get more people to vote for it.
Well, that's his art of the deal. That's the way it works.
Before Trump and after Trump, that's how it works in Albany and D.C.
The fundamental question, though, know, on this change in healthcare is, do you do what Speaker Ryan and others want to do, which is dismantle Medicaid and shift it from an entitlement to a block grant? And if and what they want to do is break up Medicaid. That's what they want to do.
Anyway,
will change dramatically.
Anyway, Eric in Grand Island, I served in Vietnam. There was the Viet Cong. In Afghanistan, it's the Taliban. Neither ever harmed or threatened America. Well, I would take some issue with that. It was the Saudis on 9/11. Good point. Bring our troops home now. And Virginia,
the Saudis, who we just gave what kind of a deal to? Huge.
The Saudis. Oh, yeah. How many billions? I am not a political novice, but I never realized how much power is in the hands of our presidency. I thought agreements, treaties, accords between the U.S. and foreign nations were subject to review and approved by the Senate. How did the office of the president get so strong and so dangerous? Bob says, as President Trump stakes out more and more positions that are unpopular with the global community, NATO and Paris Treaty, in other words, do you think that there will be a corresponding drop-off in customers in his worldwide properties? I have heard that business at his Toronto-branded hotel has dropped significantly.
Well, you know what has dropped significantly is the number of visitors coming to the United States. That I heard a report today that it's at post-9/11 numbers, 16% drop-off since Trump was elected.
Well, it's a good point, though.
Tourists coming to the U.S.
Yeah, but, yes, I hear your point. But I also ask myself, okay, you're in a place, you can have a really good hotel room in a Trump hotel. Would you ever, under any circumstances, minus anybody cutting your arm off or anything else, go into a Trump hotel? Not me. Now, the Canadians, they're not big fans of Trump. So to see a drop-off in his hotel, people, is not extraordinary, don't you think?
I think it's extraordinary, and the Trump brand has always been a little bit of an odd brand anyway. It's
sure.
Not like it's Hilton or some other big-name brand. But people that are fans of Trump stay there. And I think that once they called to boycott Ivanka's clothes, I think that it went to number one on the Amazon charts. So it works both ways a little bit in Trump world, as it always does.
Mm-hmm. And Paul, my friend Paul in Great Barrington, when discussing deployment of troops in Afghanistan or any other Arab nation, I wish there was a clarification on exactly what our objective is. I do not recall hearing at any point what the mission, besides some generic, unclear stances ranging from transition support or technical support. How can we justify simply putting more troops in harm's way without giving them a clear mission or mandate? Seems like this only perpetuates the image of American imperialism whenever we ramp up our show of force without actually accomplishing anything. All right. And Bobby says in Troy, Politico and Axios are reporting that Trump is going to withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Climate Agreement. Okay.
CNN as
yep.
well, and we're
CNN.
Just kind of watching that to see when that happens. But yeah. It may happen today, may happen tomorrow, but it looks like it will happen.
He said he was going to decide this week, and it looks like he's going to withdraw. It's just
disgusting.
Stunning.
Morning panel, cheers to Ray and his critical thinking and avoidance of emotional reasoning.
You see. Thanks, Mom.
No emotional.
Emailing from the great beyond, is she?
They
yeah,
didn't
well
hear
done.
You during the break when you were getting all emotional.
Ah, yeah. We have fun, don't
Your
we?
Your pro-Trump stance.
No.
That's not true. It's pro-fat stance.
Tom says, can you imagine what the Republicans would have been doing had Barack Obama tried to separate us from NATO? What happened to all the Republican hawks on Russia? And that's from Tom.
Good question. Thank you, Tom.
Okay. As to the Kathy Griffin stunt, comma, Alan is, of course, completely right. The Trump resistance does not need this sort of offensive idiocy. As to JP's comment about limousine liberals, I find it offensive, me too, in my Prius, and out of a conservative, ridiculously hypocritical.
Do you have a limousine, JP?
No. I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry.
What do you drive?
Hey, don't
what do I drive?
Down.
Yeah, don't give us the license number, but just in general.
Prius.
You have Prius too?
You drive a Prius as well.
What year?
He's lying. He's a lying conservative running
there
dog.
There was not a Prius.
You didn't see that. You didn't see the helicopter on the roof.
You see, you're not going to get a straight answer out of JP.
He's a town car guy.
No, he said Prius because he probably drives something that's a little bit more upscale.
Audi.
Yeah.
Haughty. Lexus.
That's a word we used to hear
haughty,
a lot.
Haughty.
Whatever we get the lowest gas mileage on. That's what we go for. The biggest
what?
Gas guzzler.
Again, lying, running dog, capitalist pig.
Bob in Milford says, "Hi all, we know what kind of artist Hannity is. Griffin has a right to do what she did. That doesn't mean it wasn't disgusting. It remains to be seen how liberal Hollywood will react." Okay.
I think they reacted in horror.
Robert says, "If the shoe were on the other foot, Kathy Griffin would never work again. What about Ann Coulter?
What about her?
Well, did she cut people's heads off in effigy?
No, but she does use pretty offensive language regularly.
I don't think she works for CNN, though."
Sandra says, "The Russian thing is the possibility that the Trump insiders colluded with Russians to influence the election with the goal of advantaging their personal finance interest in Russia in exchange for policies that would strengthen Russia, like weakening the EU, protecting Russian interests in the Middle East, and the like." And that's from Sandra.
Can I just note that Jared Kushner met with a Russian banker whose financial institution was involved with Russian intelligence and whose financial institution was under U.S. sanction at the time when there was a lot of discussion about these U.S. sanctions and whether or not they would be lifted.
Now,
or
when did this happen? That's my question. Was it during the campaign or was it at post-election?
After, when there's only supposed to be one president at a time, yet these...
So Obama
Trump
was still president.
He was still president. And
Ray just shot you a look out of the side of his
eyes.
This was reported in March.
I know we got 3 minutes left.
They don't deny it. And, you know, the question is, what did they talk about? And so when the banker talked about it, he said, well, he was meeting with him as, you know, because of the Kushner Enterprises, he was meeting with businesses all around the country.
Well, what do you think they were talking about?
Well, now they're saying that they might have been talking about this back channel because he's close
to
Putin.
But about what? What are they going to talk about?
About setting up a back channel to Putin. Who knows what they were talking about, but he shouldn't have been doing it.
It wasn't right. Okay, Max says, is this 21st century McCarthyism supposed to be unironic? I thought Dems was supposed to be for global peace and understanding. No one is buying this farce. The longer you delay, the harder it's going to be accepted that he is your president and that you're being unpatriotic. Well, there.
I think standing up for democracy is being patriotic.
Carl says, please comment on the fact that our First Lady did not attend the Senate ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery on Memorial Day. We don't have to, Maura, but you did. Okay. And John says, the Brits have an election on June 8th, and the Sanders-like Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn appears to be surging in the polls. It seems that a growing number of Europeans have seen Trump and are deciding that they should go to the opposite direction. In other words, Austria, the Netherlands, and France. And that's from our friend John in Half Moon, New York.
Isn't it funny how quickly the pendulum swingeth?
Yeah, Theresa May is having a little trouble. Her debate the other night didn't go so well.
She may be. She may be.
Not a debate, but
so if she wants to win, she has to put space between herself and Trump. That's how you do it.
The show is largely over. You can email panel at WAMC.org if you wish. We'll probably ignore it. You could better yet send it in the morning when the program begins. Now in the last minute or two we have left.
Yeah.
Want to remind you about the WAMC lockbox.
How much is in there, Teresa? Teresa is our has Joe usually has his device with him. But
yeah, I don't bring computers in. I'm old school.
Yeah, it's over 400,000, but I can't tell. Okay. It's the thermometer, but it's edging up.
Alan, I know that there's someone that's listening at home who hasn't given before and could give $10,000, $25,000, or $50,000 and get this thing over today. And
his name is J.P. Miller.
And it is a tax-deductible, charitable gift, and it needs to be done in there. And people should dig deep, not $50, $100 contributions. We need $25,000 and $50,000.
Or I would argue that they should give $5. Whatever they give, what will kill us is if anybody turns their back and walks away if they think this program is valuable.
By the way, consult your accountant before you are 100% certain that your donation is tax-deductible.
Well, it is tax-deductible.
Well, you just want to make sure.
Okay.
You're going to throw $25,000 down. You want to double check, right?
Yeah. No, we've gotten a lot of big donations,
We're at 404-768.
Whoa, okay, let's go to 405 in 1 minute.
So we got 90.
Do I hear 406?
Teresa Bourgeois, we'll get you on the Fun Drive with Shar Talk. I'll sleep in.
No, because you're funny. I like listening to you.
The Fun Drive begins on Monday at 6 a.m. Our goal is to make $500,000 in the lockbox. Now, last year we did that, and we had a one-day Fun Drive. That's which right. was great. We were back to programming the next day. We were scrambling to get shows together.
So don't be arguing that we're taking too much time here, because if we get it done, then you will have a lot of programming all the time.
Well, so you have 8 seconds. Go ahead, Teresa Bourgeois.
Two calls you need to make, one to your member of Congress about the health bill and one to WAMC.
I see. Well, that's the panel, and we'll be back with more Roundtable in a moment.